Good morning and welcome to the radio broadcast of the Grace Baptist Church in Akron, Ohio. Grace Baptist Church is located at 704 North Firestone Boulevard, and you'll find it is a perfect place for imperfect people. Stay with us for the next few moments, and just like at Grace Baptist Church, on this radio broadcast, you'll hear some great music and some great preaching from our pastor, Reverend Bob Stevens.
I really appreciate you being a part of our listening audience today. You know, Grace Baptist Church is here for the sole purpose of winning people to Jesus Christ and spreading the good news of the gospel around the world. And so that's what our message deals with today, being a missions-minded church, and it does make a difference. God blesses people who think and feel the same way He does. Missions is so important to Him. Today begins our prophecy conference that goes on for 4 weeks. Pastor Emeritus Phil Hogan will be handling that, so he'll be in the pulpit for the next 4 weeks. This week, he'll be dealing with Russia's invasion, and I think that's so pertinent in light of what's happening with the Ukraine. Next week will be the Antichrist, and then the week after that is after the rapture, and then Satan's Christ is the last Sunday. And so we're looking forward to hearing this and seeing what God is doing here in these last days. So join us today at 9 o'clock and then again at 10:30 for our prophecy conference with Pastor Emeritus Phil Hogan.
I keep hearing voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. Oh, you say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. And you say I am held when I short, and when I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours, and I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me. I believe the only thing that matters now is everything you think.
You say
Our Wednesday evenings here at the church are pretty exciting. We have a lot going on every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. If your kids are not involved in a church ministry on Wednesday nights, let me invite you out to ours, Grace Kids. And we have an Awana program that meets every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. They have a lot of events that are coming up on these Wednesday nights. March the 16th is John 3:16 night. And the children who can recite John 3:16, well, they'll get a special treat. You see, it's not just about coming to church. It's about learning and memorizing the Word of God. God expects us to have His Word hidden in our hearts all the time. And then on March the 30th, well, it's popcorn night. So if you bring a friend, they'll all be entitled to their own popcorn. April the 6th is our Easter celebration. Want to invite your friends to join us for some extra fun as we celebrate Christ's resurrection. You know, it's pivotal that our kids know that everything hinges on that resurrection of Jesus Christ. He made the difference in our hearts and in our lives, and He'll make the difference in theirs. As we head into the summer and we realize it's just around the corner, kids are high on our priority list here. We already have our VBS planned this year, so there's going to be a lot of fun going on underneath the big top, but it's just not fun. It's the relationship that these kids are going to build with Jesus Christ that makes the difference. He is the one who changes lives. And the Big Top experience, well, you can have that July the 25th through the 29th, and that'll be every evening right here. So it'll be a week filled with fun and clowning around, but most importantly, learning about the Lord Jesus Christ. We also have our youth ministry that will meet throughout the summer months as well, and that's right here at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evenings. It's known as The Summit, and it's led by Sean and Becky Krebiels, and they do a great job, and your kids are going to love being with them. Our student ministry here is pretty unique, and we appreciate so much what they do. And our adults, well, we're not left out of the mix either. We've got something going on this fall that I think you'll enjoy. It's the Sight and Sound Theater, and we're going down to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, for a couple, 3 days of just good Bible entertainment with the live stage performance of David. So your deposit is due. That's $100 by April the 17th. And to secure your room, the balance is due by August the 14th. Now, once again, we'll be leaving for 3 days and two nights, and that's September the 26th through the 28th. The theme this year is David. We're excited about going. The coach will load up and leave from the church here, and we'll have a great time. And so they're going to be on the road again, and we appreciate all the work that Dorothy Orr puts into this. If you'd like to make your reservations, just get a hold of us here at the church, 330-773-7884, and we'll get you on the list.
For those who are hurting, we're a harbor for those who are lost. Sometimes it's not always easy bearing Calvary's cross. We've been ridiculed by those who don't know Him, and mocked by those who don't believe. Still I love standing up for my Jesus, 'cause of all that He's done for me. That's why of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, I am not afraid to be counted, but I'm willing to give my life. See, I'm ready to be of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For every moment his hand has had mercy, for all the love he's shown in my life. A simple thanks just doesn't say how I'm feeling. I get tears in my eyes. So as for me, I'm gonna keep on believing in the one who's been so faithful to me. I'm not out to please this whole world around me. Oh, I've got my mind on eternity. That's why I am not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. No, I am not afraid to be counted, but I'm willing to give my life. See, I'm ready to be what he wants me to be. Give up the wrong. Of the gospel. Oh, I am not ashamed of the gospel.
I've got too much behind me to let this world find me. To some, he's just a name, but to me, he's my everything. I am not ashamed of the gospel.
Of the gospel, no, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You see, the church is what Jesus died for. The church is Christ's worldwide enterprise. His global economy is each and every one of us to go out in this world and not be ashamed because we are redeemed. When you look at Matthew chapter 16, it tells us there, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," what's he going to do? He's going to build his church. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The problem we see today is that we watch the news so much that we often become intimidated by this world and all of the happenstance that goes on because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's many people today who are losing their life because they stand up for the Lord Jesus. It's not happening here. It's happening globally around the world in other places. And so I get missions reports all the time about people, Christians, who are losing their life just because they're a Christian. But you know what? That's okay. God's in control of all this. And if we're not careful, that could happen here as well. Are you ready? Have you been redeemed? How did the Christian faith begin? How did it get so far along when we look at the world and we see all of the oppression that's out there for Christians?
Well, it was during that oppression in the beginning churches that God really began to allow his people to blossom, and they moved ahead in spite of the persecution. And that's an important factor. You see, he took a few people who he told to stay in Jerusalem for a little while, and then he moved them out from there and into the uttermost parts of this world. And when he did that, he began to spread the gospel into his global economy. And that's what we're looking at today. And what we need to realize is that we need to have God be able to say to us, can I count on you? And us respond affirmatively. He can count on us, because as those followers back then moved from Israel to Rome and then to the other parts of the world back then, what they did was they became Christ followers. They followed him wherever he wanted them to go. Now, obviously, Christ wasn't leading them by the hand, but the Spirit of God was leading them by the heart. And when God's Spirit leads us by the heart, he moves us to places that we never intended to go, because our intentions are not his intentions. Luke wants to show us that the accounts that were based on the witnesses and the testimonies of the witnesses back then weren't for self-gratification. They weren't trying to build themselves up. They were trying to give this world Jesus Christ. The message was, we were going to go in face of danger. And actually, that's what happened. Because through that time of danger, many of them lost their lives. And so we see that persecution is nothing new to the economy of God. It's always been there. It started way back in the day when the church was first birthed. When we look at Acts chapter 1, we see that it says there, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Now, Theophilus, his name means one who loves God. So we can take that name, O Theophilus, and put our name in its place, O Bob, one that loves God. O Ted, one that loves God. O Jeff, one that loves God. All of these individuals can be brought into that one name. It's like, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When I'm leading someone to Christ, I say, take out that word whosoever. Put your name in there. For if Bob shall call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. You see, that's how personal the gospel of Jesus Christ is. What I want you to notice here is that of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Now, the word began is very important. It's the key word, actually, because Jesus began to do this. It's something that is important. It implies that Christ's work on earth was not finished. Of course, when we hear his last words on the cross, what were they? It is finished. What was he talking about? How could these words just begin? How could this ministry just begin? Because his death, his burial, and then his resurrection and ascension put God's stamp of approval on Jesus paying the price for our sin. And when he did that, he began a new ministry in this world. And guess who's responsible for that ministry today? You and I. The apostles started it. We carry it out. We continue to do what God wants us to do. He's carrying on his work through the believer. His believers are then bringing together the church, and the church takes care of business for him. That once and for all sacrifice of sin, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then his ascension to the Father's right hand is just the beginning of what he wants us to do. He came, he began, and then he needed to do and teach. And he does that through us. That's why we exist as a church. We're not here for our own personal gratification. We're here to glorify him. We're here to lift him up so that this world can be drawn unto him. He said, if I be lifted up, I will, not might, I will draw all men unto me. All that Jesus began both to do and to teach. So began was the key word, but there's two more important words there, do and teach. So what does that do for us? Well, there's something that we have to do because of our redemption. When we've been redeemed and he can count on us, guess what we're doing? We're living our Christian life. We're doing it on a daily basis. And from that lifestyle, we are teaching by the way that someone has done. For example, when our church was much younger, we were back over on Balch Street. We had a missionary family come through, the Dean McClure family. I still remember this today. And it's not that I'm old, but, you know, I don't always remember everything. But this made an impression on me. It was impactful. And what happened? Well, that family came through. They were driving an old beat-up station wagon, and their tires were down to the cord. And they were missionaries on deputation. And preacher said, "Dean, take that car down to the B.F. Goodrich, and we'll put a set of tires on it." Now, I heard the preacher say that. But I also understood the economy of our church. We weren't a wealthy church. We were a church that was making it just week to week. But by faith, preacher said, "Go put tires on that car." And you know what happened? God took care of the bill for those tires. He was there all the time. He's that kind of a God. He's involved in our doing and our teaching. And so because of what preacher had done, it taught me that God is interested in missions, and he takes care of a missions-minded church. That's why we're here today. God's at work in the history of the church. Jesus began his work. His church continues today because of what he had began back then. That's why he saved us, and that's why he leaves us here. We're here to serve him, not to serve ourselves. And so, if you're a Christian, serving the Lord isn't optional. It's something you've got to do. It's imperative. Why? We've been redeemed. We're not ashamed of the gospel. We understand what he's done in our hearts and lives. We're thankful for the change. We're thankful for what he's done with each and every one of us if we know Christ. And then we can't keep it to ourselves. He never called us to be secret agents. He called us to get out there and give the gospel to other people. Before Jesus was taken up to heaven, he gave his disciples orders. What did he say? "Go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel." And that's what they did. And because they did that, we have the gospel today. We are a recipient of someone doing and someone teaching. And I'm so thankful that I have had that privilege in my life. Why? Because somebody did something that showed me that I needed Christ. And they preached a message that helped me to see my need of a Savior. And I trusted him as my Lord and Savior. So from the human standpoint, all these guys that Jesus put together to go out into this world and make a difference for him, listen, they were just a conglomeration of people. Because God loves people, all people. He loves the wealthy. He loves the common man. He loves the rich. He loves the poor. He loves you and me. And we're all that individual. We've been trusted into his care. When we look at Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, we see the church. When you look at those, you have to ask yourself the question, what is the business of the church? You're talking about economies and enterprises and the global economy and everything. What is the church to be doing? Well, we've already done most of it. We've prayed for the sick. We've, this past week, made phone calls to those who have been absent. We've also sent cards and letters out to people who have not been here due to the pandemic and what's going on. What else are we to do? Well, we're to be there for people in their transitions in life. They want to get married. Who do they need? They need a preacher, right? Well, they could go to the courthouse, but most people like to have a pastor preside over their wedding. When they have children, like we're having baby dedication, the church needs to be there for that. When they die, we need to be there for that. And we do a great job with that, with our ministry that reaches out to people. The kitchen angels, they come in, they swoop around these people, provide dinner for them. We do all those things. That's the functions of the church, but that is not the main business of the church. The main business of the church is to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, what I find in most churches today is they're slipping into a maintenance mentality. And by that I mean, they're trying to just take care of who they've got. They become inclusive, and they just want to keep it to us four, no more. And it's nice and tidy and neat in the box. That's not what God called us to do. God called us to go into this world, preach the gospel to who? All people. And those people are what kind of people? Lost. And where do those people spend eternity? In where? Can you say it a little louder? Hell. That's right. This isn't a trick question. It's where they're going to spend eternity. It's in hell. But if they get saved and they're redeemed, where do they go?
Heaven.
Man, praise the Lord. You know, when I first got saved and I started singing in a group, Christians sometimes are so kind and they're so nice. And you go out and you think that, you know, you're traveling and you're singing and you're doing all that. And then you get some old cranky saint that says, yeah, you guys, you just all travel around and sing about heaven. Okay. What's wrong with that? Well, there's more to that Christian life than heaven. And I'm thinking, what are we living for but to get to heaven, right? I don't get it sometimes. Are you living for heaven? If you're living for heaven, it changes the way you live, it changes your lifestyle. You know, Theophilus, one who loves God. Do you love the Lord? That's the question. What's the answer? Only you can answer that. Do you love them? Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Oftentimes, when churches get in that maintenance mode, the thing that they forget first and foremost is to reach lost people. Why do we have a missions program? Why are we so mission-minded? Why do we spend the whole month of October on missions? Because everybody needs to realize that we're not in maintenance mode here. We are in the mode of reaching lost people. And we can't reach around the world if we don't have missions. You've got to have missions. We do all kinds of things for missions. We have faith promise giving. We have receipts that we collect for the Acme stores. If you shop at Acme, put your receipts in the jar in the back. It's free money for our missions program. It works. You buy your groceries, you put them in the jar, they give us money. Nothing wrong with that. We're not even asking them. It's what they have already put out. We'll give to your favorite nonprofit. Hello, Grace Baptist Church. Here we are. We're our favorite nonprofit, you know? And so give to us. It makes a difference. What we need to be doing is surrendering our opinions, our will to God.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of the Grace Baptist Church in Akron, Ohio. If you'd like to contact Pastor Bob, you can do so by writing him at Grace Baptist Church, 704 North Firestone Boulevard, Akron, Ohio, 44306. Or give us a call, area code 330-773-7884. I'd like to invite you as well to log on to our website, gracebaptistakron.com. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you back here next week.